again to all our friends out in podcast land. This is episode 37 of the Saving Christianity Podcast, and it is wonderful to be back with you after these months offline. And we're going to tell you why we've been offline in a moment. But first, you'll remember that we're the podcast for people who want a return of the peace, healing, and hope that the first Christians had in the first century. And you'll remember that we're brought to you by the Christian Family Online, a nonprofit public charity. I'm your host, John Shields. I'm here with our co-host, Owen Allen, and with our producer, Shannon Wolf. Now, I think you're going to find this episode very interesting because we're not going to only explain why we've been offline for a period of time, but we're also going to introduce you to a deeper walk retreat that we've developed while our podcast was offline. It's a Christian retreat like no other that we've seen, and we're excited about dedicating this episode to telling you about it. So the title of this podcast episode is The New Deeper Walk Retreat. The New Deeper Walk Retreat. And in this episode, we're going to talk about why we created the new retreat and how it's working so far. But right now, let's bring in our co-host, Owen Allen, and get the episode started. Welcome to episode 37, Owen.
Well, thank you, John. And let me offer my own warm welcome to our loyal followers worldwide. We owe all of you an apology, probably, for being out of touch for so long. But by the end of this episode, I think you'll believe with us that the delay has been worth it. You know, John, all of our episodes have been important, I think, and all of them, I believe, have contained facts and principles that many Christians have never heard. But I honestly think that this episode, episode 37, is one of the most unusual that we've ever recorded.
And I agree, Owen. I know that this is a side of Christianity that we worked on very hard. And I know this is a side of Christianity that's at a critical place in history right now, this very day. So this episode is needed in Christianity right now.
Yeah, John, I believe that. I mean, like you say, we live this daily, so we know it's true. And for reasons that'll become clear as we talk, I think that our new Deeper Walk Retreat, which we've given, by the way, we've given the name The Experience, The Experience. And we think it should be of interest to all Christians. Why? And why is that true? Well, because this retreat has spiritual exercises and techniques. It's not words, it's not theology, it's exercises and techniques that no other retreat we know of has.
That's true, Owen. So let's just jump in the deep end of the pool, as they say, and let's tell our listeners why we created the Experience Retreat and what it does for people who attend it.
Okay, well, maybe as I think about it, John, the best place to start is by telling our listeners that we created the Experience Retreat to solve a linkage of problems that exists in Christianity today. Now, obviously, we've talked about some of these problems in earlier episodes, so our listeners could look back up the line and see those. But let's repeat some of those ideas here, because the new Deeper Walk Retreat is designed for one purpose. Check this out.
Yes.
To solve those problems.
Right.
Now, what are the problems? Well, the first problem that Christianity has these days is that the national polls show that attendance of Christian worship services is dropping like a stone.
Yes.
Earlier this year, one national study found that only 10% of today's Christians still regularly attend weekly worship services. So, a lack of worship attendance is Christianity's first big problem at this point. And as a sidebar, John, we've talked in earlier podcasts about the hundreds of church buildings that are being boarded up.
Right.
The hundreds of pastors and priests that are seeking other careers and other work. So this is ground that we plowed in earlier episodes, but I'm repeating it here.
Yeah, yes.
But now let's go deeper. The second problem is that because of this lack of worship attendance, most Christians today don't have much Christian fellowship.
Right.
They have very little Christian influence in their actual daily lives.
Right, yes.
In other words, everything they see and everything they hear during the day is non-Christian.
Right.
That's a big problem, and that links to the final one, number three. The third problem Christianity has today is that because most Christians don't have much Christian influence in their lives, hang on now, we've said this before, but right. let's say it again. Today's average Christian is no more spiritual than a non-Christian.
Which is stunning.
Think about that. It makes you want to beat your head on the wall.
Yes.
Because the whole point and purpose, I think our listeners would agree to this, the only whole point and purpose of Christianity existing is to make people spiritual. And they were among the early Christians. We've talked about that.
Yes.
The first three centuries of Christian history, about the first eight or nine generations of the early Christians, were the most spiritual people walking the earth. But that's gone now. So let's summarize. What these three problems mean is that Christianity is literally fading away before our eyes, and nobody seems to know anything to do about it.
Ouch. Oh, and that hurts to hear that, although we have to start with the reality, the truth of where we are. And as someone famously said, understanding the problem is half the solution.
Absolutely.
And we've said that from episode one. Our podcast, Saving Christianity, is not to be a rehearsal of the problems with modern-day Christianity, but we're here focused on the solution to that.
Yeah.
And that's why we've taken so much time away from the podcast lately to work on our solution.
Yeah.
So now, let's tell our listeners, Owen, how our solution works.
Okay, so that's a deep, deep subject, as the well digger said.
Yes.
There's a lot to tell. So I think maybe, John, the best place to start here is telling our listeners the reason why so few Christians attend today's worship services. I mean, that was the first problem we mentioned, but now let's go backward. Why does it exist?
Right.
Because that first link in the chain is where all the trouble starts.
Yeah, okay. But that reason is something many Christians understand, I think, in the back of their mind somewhere.
Yeah.
But we don't like to talk about it because we don't see an answer. And so we think, well, it's useless to talk about it.
That's right. That's true, John. And, you know, for years I felt that same way. And I think most Christians have at times. I didn't want to talk about the decline in worship attendance, or should I say, I didn't know how to talk about it, so you just don't mention it to people. But now I think we both decided to be brave and to, quotes, go public with the truth about why Christian worship attendance is tanking nationally. And actually, I think the reason is simple. All the research bears it out. And that simple reason for the national decline in worship attendance is as follows. Worship services, as they're conducted today, don't meet people's spiritual needs. Just think about that. That has to be true, doesn't it?
Sure.
In fact, many Christians, this is the most shocking point that research has shown, many Christians leave the worship services more disappointed and confused than they were when they went in.
Yeah, Owen, and that's a horrible tragedy. I just want to insert here for our listeners, you probably know this from earlier episodes, but this is real time for Owen and me. Mm-hmm. I am serving in a local congregation as a, quote, pastor. So I'm in this. Mm-hmm. I'm experiencing, I'm living it for, I'm on my like 35th year. Wow. In this. And so it is a horrible tragedy. Mm-hmm. But there's also a simple reason why today's worship services don't meet people's spiritual needs. Or maybe let's say it a little bit of a different way. There's a reason why today's worship services don't make Christians more spiritual.
Ouch.
Yes.
And so obviously, John, if Christians are not spiritual or even no more spiritual than their neighbors and their friends, then why would they want to go to spend a day? I'll never forget. Years ago, John, I told you this story. A lady in my neighborhood was a big golfer. And so we were talking at the mailbox one day, and I said something about, why don't you go to church with us? And her mouth dropped open, and she stared at me, and she said, "Church? Why would I go to church? Mm-hmm. That's my golf day."
Right.
And she was just horrified that I mentioned
how
it.
How dare you?
Yeah, how dare you? But mind you, she was a professing Christian.
Right.
But she didn't attend anywhere. So the simple reason then, let's get back to that. Why is all this happening? Why doesn't services today and satisfy people, Christians and or non-Christians? And it's simple. It's because of what researchers call the structure or the format of today's services is inappropriate. Mm-hmm. That means that no matter how hard pastors, priests, song leaders, and choirs work, it won't make their congregations that much more spiritual.
Wow. And that is such a horrible tragedy, Owen. But since you are one of those researchers you mentioned, why don't you explain to our listeners why the structure or format of worship services is so important?
Well, okay, let's wade out into the deep water then, John. You know, let me start by saying that some of our listeners may or may not know that my specialty in school and my degree is in the field of organizational behavior, OB we call it. And one of the disciplines in organizational behavior that we've studied long and hard is called organizational structure. And the point of all of that is that the organizational structure that Christians have today, now let's pause and be sure everybody gets this, is not, repeat, not the organizational structure that the early Christians had. And right there, you see, there's a mammoth problem. Because I'll go deeper. The organizational structure that we see today bears no resemblance whatsoever to the organizational structure that the early Christians had.
Wow.
You know, if people say today, well, and I don't like this term because as part of the problem, the word church is not in the Bible, and the early Christians didn't use it. But to communicate, sometimes we have to say it. So if Christians today say, let's go to church tomorrow, what vision do you see in your mind? You see a large brick building with big steps leading up to it. You enter that building in a big lobby. You open some big central doors. You walk down a big central aisle to a platform up front that has chairs and a pulpit and other equipment on it, and you sit down at something called a pew, and you watch a performance called a service, and then you leave and go to lunch somewhere, and you say, I've been to church. And maybe you have, but you haven't been to a spiritual experience.
Right.
Now, what's the opposite of that? In the early Christianity, John, I wonder how many people know this.
Yes.
But it's documented history. It's archaeological history. It's museum history. Mm-hmm. There's all the proof you could want of it. And we've written about that in our books, and we've written about it in the new retreat. But lest I wander, in the first century, all Christians met in small groups in private homes. They were never more than 12, 15, 18, maybe, people, men, women, and children all together.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, those groups were formed by a couple of neighbors, a couple of families who were neighbors, mm-hmm. maybe three families who were neighbors, saying, well, let's just worship together.
Right.
And so they formed a group, and they started meeting. And sometimes they rotated homes so that one family didn't have the burden of everything that went with it. If they were going to have snacks after worship or something like that, not one family was required to host it. We call it being a host. And so I'll say this, John, before I pause. There are a lot of small groups today. Most mm-hmm. Christians have experienced them. Most Christians have seen them fail. The small groups that are started today by institutional congregations usually fail within 90 days. And there's a reason they do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the problem. It's because they structure them like the parent congregation.
Right.
They structure them with a human leader, a songbook, a musician, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And they follow an agenda. And so they fail for the same reason that the big congregations fail.
Yeah.
So it's a tremendous, tremendous mess, frankly, John.
It is. And recently, Owen, I was trying to tell someone about the retreat and the book, et cetera. And in that conversation, I said something about the necessity and the value of spiritual, worshipful small groups, and the person I was talking to, eyes kind of crossed, and they said to me very sincerely, they said, oh, well, now tell me about small groups. And this is what he said: who leads it?
Yep.
And do what book do you use?
There you go.
And so it was just this template of the institution, of all that we've said now for these 36 previous episodes.
Yeah.
But because that was all he ever knew.
Exactly.
That's all he knows. And so you don't know what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, so I would just like to throw in, Owen, here, something that let's think about this. We're coming up on July the 4th soon.
That's right.
So we've been the freest, most prosperous nation in the history of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And freedom of religion here in the USA. So having said that, then why is every measure that you can think of in the negative numbers with the morality, the opposite of all that Christianity is and offers and brings to the table, if in that context, we have had little or minimal effect on a culture, on a society, then doesn't it seem that perhaps we should look at this and say, well, maybe this isn't working.
Yeah.
I mean, the soil for this was there, freedom, opportunity, mm-hmm. and yet here in the South where we are, there is a, quote, church building about every 100 yards.
Yes.
And so if it was working from in this little recording studio that we're in right now, within a 5-mile radius, mm-hmm. there are, I can't tell you, innumerable church buildings.
Yes.
And on any given Sunday morning, you can visit them and you'll walk in to a 90% empty space.
Yes.
With maybe 20 people sitting there.
Yes.
So if what we've been doing for all of these many years was working and having the effect that Jesus intended for it to have on what Christianity is, what it's about, what it's supposed to produce, etc., then where is the evidence of that?
Yeah.
So that's where all of this comes back to: the book, Saving Christianity, the podcast, and now the retreat.
Yep. Well, I think what a lot of people don't realize, John, because, you know, normally church history, Christian history is not taught today in most schools or even colleges or maybe not even in some seminaries.
Yes.
But the point is, people don't realize that we've now had 1,700 years of what we call sediment, settling over deeper and deeper and deeper over how the early Christians lived, until now nobody knows or remembers how they lived or what they did, except what they might glean from reading the New Testament.
Right.
But to go back and mention some of our earlier podcast episodes, we can remind our folks that the worm turn, the pivot point, was the 4th century.
Right.
For the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd centuries, Christians, there was some persecution.
Yes.
We know that some of them were fed to the lions and so on, but scholars believe that that was rare. They were not persecuted day and night like they are in movies. Most of them lived very happy, productive lives for the first 8, 9, 10 generations. And then something really horrible, I guess I could say, happened. And that was when Constantine came to power as the Roman emperor of the Roman Empire in the 4th century. And we're not going to repeat all those lessons because that's in an earlier episode. But anyway, he decided to institutionalize Christianity, and he passed 300 new laws during that 25-year period before he died to change Christianity from an informal, happy, small group type religion to a legalistic, formalized, institutional type religion. Why'd he do that? So he could control
it. Yes.
See,
right.
Institutionalism, bureaucracy, is a system for control to make people powerless. And then he died, and one of the emperors following him was named Theodosius, and he drove the final nail in the coffin. Because he actually outlawed Christian small groups in the Roman Empire.
Right.
It's the late 4th century. And since that time, the institution has grown and fought and split and divided, carried on for century after century.
Yes.
But today, John, if you take a pad and pencil and make a comparison, your typical church building and your typical congregation right this minute while we're sitting at this table is fashioned after, structured after, formatted after a Roman courthouse and the structure that Constantine and Theodosius developed.
Right. That is, I don't hardly have words for that. When you think about that is actually, and how we could possibly, when we're talking about Christianity, which at its core is a supernatural deal.
Amen.
That with the God of the universe
yes.
breaking into history and coming and living and dying and rising, and then saying to his early followers that it is advantageous that I go back to heaven, that I go back to the Father, because I'm fixing to do something in you that you've never known or experienced. I'm going to indwell you with the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
So how can we take something that is so magnificent, so wonderful, so powerful, so life-changing, and turn it and allow it to be turned into it's hard to even contemplate that we find ourselves in this place here in the 21st century. Mm-hmm.
When people are smart as they are,
yeah.
We have all the equipment
right.
that we have and social media and internet and all of these things. And
right.
now AI is coming online and all this weird stuff.
Yeah.
And yet we can't see, we can't remember. You know, I sometimes say that this retreat, our new deeper walk retreat called The Experience is a back to the basics type experience. In other words, what we're trying to do, and we need to tell our listeners, I guess, a little more about how it's structured when we'll get into that. But we called it The Experience because for one brief weekend, we want today's Christians who are seeking deeper growth, who want to grow spiritually, who want to have more spiritual experiences, we're giving them a chance to come for one weekend to a small group retreat and actually experience some of what the early Christians experienced.
Right.
Then our hope is they will go back to their home or wherever they came from and form a small group and continue experiencing that regardless of what else they do, their career, whatever they're doing in a secular fashion.
Yeah. And the thing, we did our pilot group early in, in 2024. And quite honestly, while we believe completely in the material and the book and the podcast and everything else, there was a little uncertainty going into this in how people would respond. And Owen, being a participant of this and sitting there and listening and watching people's response to it, we, at the end of it, we were like, okay.
Yeah.
This is right.
We hit the target.
Yeah, exactly. Right. This does have impact on a person's life.
And you quoted one man, John, that said, I've forgotten his name, but one man said to you, I've been a professing Christian all of my life, and I never heard any of this, and why not?
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Well, the structure that we're talking about, the format that we're talking about in our new retreat is that it's 2.5 days. It's Friday, Saturday, and half a day on the Lord's Day. And we meet from 8:30 to 4:30 on Friday, and then the folks are free that evening to go back home or wherever they want to go, a hotel room or whatever. Then we meet again from 8:30 to 4:30 on Saturday. Then they're free that evening again. And then finally, we meet from 8:30 to 2 on the Lord's Day. That's the day that most people call Sunday, which was Constantine's term, and I don't like to use it.
Right.
The early Christians call that first day of the week the Lord's Day.
Yes.
So we meet from 8:30 till 2 on the Lord's Day. And on that particular day, the third day of the retreat, we actually do worship in the Spirit and give them the chance to experience everything that we've talked about leading up to that.
Right.
We have 18 different live exercises that they do, some alone, some with another person, some with three people, and some with the entire group. So you can imagine, in fact, At one point, we called it a boot camp,
yeah.
a spiritual boot camp, because they're thrown in head first and experience the gamut from the first morning all the way through.
Yeah.
And John, the beautiful thing about it is that, you know, we did some measuring mm-hmm. of their experiences, and we found when the retreat was over that some of the participants had grown spiritually 10%, some 15%, some 20%,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and one person grew 40% in that one weekend
right.
in spiritual growth.
Right.
Now, how many pastors or priests can say that's happening in their congregation,
right.
in their institutional structure?
Yeah, exactly. I think, Owen, my wife comes from 35 years in corporate America, so she's been to a fair amount of weekend training sessions and, quote, retreats herself. And even though she's somewhat on the inside and had heard us talking about all of this, she was just blown away by, she said it was the best. The way, the flow, the format that was used, the whole thing was the best that she had ever experienced. And, and so she was looking at it from, you know, this corporate model and how it just was, you know, kind of kept you on the edge of your seat and you weren't looking at your watch wondering when this was going to be over because you knew that God was in this. And that's very, very exciting. And Owen, I just want to reiterate this as a pastor myself for so many years. It may seem a little ironic that I'm so much a part of this, but I came to understand years ago that ignoring the problem and acting like there wasn't one was just disingenuous. It was just having your head in the sand, and I just said, okay, let's see this for what it is, and let's work towards a solution to this. So I think if you are we're not seeking in this podcast, the book, the retreat, to throw anyone under the bus here. We're just trying to say, hey, what we've been doing now for 1,700 years is obviously not working. And as Dr. Phil says, how's that working out for you? And our experience is not too good.
Yeah.
And we just want people, particularly in this point in history, with all that's taken place, to experience walking in the Spirit, living the Christian life, and understanding the foundation of all of this, and just being what God purposed this to be,
really is
the bottom line of that.
Yeah.
And then just the difference in our life. God knows that we need it, and the world certainly needs it. And so that's really the premise of where all of this originates and comes from.
That's right, John. And at this point, I think we need to say probably the most important thing that we'll say on this episode 37, and it's this. What we're talking about, how should we phrase this, is not in opposition to
right.
or as an enemy to institutional Christianity, which, as we've said, has been around for 1,700 years.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the difference. We call our retreat a paragroup, and that word para, which I guess we hear our term parachute and other phrases, but it's from a Greek word para, which means alongside or parallel to. So what we're saying is some of our people in this wonderful retreat we had recently, the first one, are active members of institutions.
Mm-hmm.
And that has not changed anything in their life. They're right. still attending loyally their institution. But, and it's a big but, as the old joke goes, they are also meeting parallel or alongside that in their small group. Mm-hmm. And they're sticking firmly to the early first century principles that they learned in the retreat. So now they've got both. They still have their social connection with their institution, mm-hmm. and they go to its programs. But then on the side, they're meeting in homes, which they're rotating.
Right.
They're meeting in homes and experiencing first century worship on top of it.
Right.
So the two can operate together, and we have explanations and descriptions of how to do that mm-hmm. that we actually present in the retreat.
Yes. It's something, Owen, it's just one of those things that, honestly, you want anyone and everyone to have the experience.
Yes.
And we invite you to look more into that. Owen, I think we're kind of coming to a close here mm-hmm. with our podcast 37. I'm glad we're back at it, though.
Yeah, and let's just mention then to our listeners, John, that right now the retreat is being presented on the campus of Elon University in Elon, North Carolina,
yeah,
one of the top-rated universities in America. We simply ask a simple tax-deductible donation of $339 for the whole weekend retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And our next one, by the way, is in October. So there's plenty of time to get ready for that.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be on October 4th, 5th, and 6th this year, 2024. And they can contact us in one of two ways or both. They can go on the internet to christianfamilyonline.org/experience,
mm-hmm.
or they can just email me direct, owen@christianfamilyonline.org.
Right.
And so, John, as you say in wrapping up, I think that the point of this episode 37 is to tell our friends that there's hope.
Yes.
Christianity is just as powerful and effective and wonderful and exciting as it was in the first century,
mm-hmm.
but only if we live it correctly. In yeah. the correct structure.
Yes.
In the correct format.
Absolutely. And in closing, Owen, let's make one final point. The early Christians taught that there is, or that there can be, a kingdom of God on earth just as there is in heaven. But many Christians don't see much of it. And we think that Christians can and should see more of it.
Yes.
And that our new Deeper Walk retreat, the experience can help bring that about.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope that many of our listeners will inquire and enroll in our October retreat. It'll be a beautiful time there in the fall on the Elon University campus.
That's absolutely true, John. And I pray that this episode has opened many people's eyes and has answered many nagging questions that our friends worldwide may have about the struggles in today's Christianity, because it doesn't have to be, there is hope, mm-hmm. there is an answer.
Right.
But John, I can see on the big clock on the wall
right.
that our time is up.
Yes, Owen, I see that too. So friends, this is episode 37. Just remind you,
yeah.
there is a recording and a verbatim transcript of this episode on our website at goscpod.com. That stands for Go to the Saving Christianity Podcast.com. Our website, goscpod.com. Go there and look at everything that's there. And probably some of your questions can be answered by just visiting the site.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, well, I think, John, this has been an amazing show. I know we're both praying that the information we've shared will inspire, encourage, and uplift many of our friends worldwide. Many of them will hopefully enroll in the experience, our new Deeper Walk retreat.
Yes.
But, John, in the meantime, this is Owen Allen.
And this is John Shields, along with Shannon Wolf, our producer.
And we're all praying together.
May the God of our fathers bless you and keep you and guide you and protect you until we meet again.